Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman.
And today we are doing a podcast about the Consumer Electronics Show. Lois and I both came back alive and well, which is a miracle in itself, after spending the past few days in Las Vegas at the 50th Consumer Electronics Show. It's a big number. It's their 50th one, the Big 50, but it's Lois, you're a big celebrity. Lois is the only person at CES to have gone to all 50 shows, and that you were even honored because of it, correct?
Absolutely. The Las Vegas Review-Journal did a piece on me. There are two other people that claim they were there, too. I don't remember them. I'm not saying anything about it. As far as I'm concerned, I'm the only one, and I don't care what anybody else says. Nobody's handing me a check for it. But I have been there all 50 years, and some years the show was twice a year. So I've gone to more than 50 CESs. And it used to be called the Consumer Electronics Show, but now it's called CES only because of the innovation. It's just not consumer electronic products. It's any product that's innovative, like 3D printing and drones and robots. A lot of these things are not considered consumer electronic products, so they changed the name, and very appropriately, the world has changed. Steve, what are some of the things you thought was really exceptional?
I saw a lot of stuff. I mean, this is almost hard to talk about what it's like there's so many things, it's almost hard to pick out. I saw something called Tacklum Boots, which, virtual reality for your eyes. So you know what that is? Well, these are virtual reality for your feet. You wear these boots, and then using a code on your smartphone, it changes the feel. So it feels like you're walking in water, or feels like you're walking on gravel, or feels like you're walking in sand. So it's virtual reality for your feet. And obviously it can be used for gaming and for experiencing video on a whole new level, but that was kind of innovative, I thought.
Who's the manufacturer for that?
A company called TACLIM, Tacklum. That's all I know, Tacklum Boots. That's all, all my notes say. I saw several 360 cameras, and these are cameras that snap into your smartphone and then let you stream, again, for virtual reality circumstances, stream 360 around you, 360 degrees, and then you can post it on Facebook, and people can kind of swipe through the picture, and they can see the experience that you're experiencing, but from all around you. And I actually saw a cool globe. Picture a globe, and you can play 3D videos in the globe, and you walk around the globe, or the globe can spin, and you can see, right up until now, there's really not an easy way to see a 360 video. This globe sort of solves that problem, and that was kind of cool, too.
Who is that? Which manufacturer is that?
I have to look. It's called Global Inspirations or something like that.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, very cool. I saw a watch that can actually take your blood pressure. It's the first FDA-approved watch that has inside the band a blood pressure cuff, so you can take an accurate, professional, medically real blood pressure analysis on the smartwatch from the folks at Omron. And I loved 7Hugs has this really cool smart remote. So it's a piece of basically glass. There's nothing on it. But when you point it at a device, the buttons appear as need. You're pointing at a lamp, it shows a dimmer, and you can change colors of the lamp, let's say. If you point at a TV, you've got channels and volume and all that stuff. If you point it at the door, it can go call an Uber for you. It's totally flexible, and it becomes what it needs to become depending on how you point it and where you point it. But that was kind of cool. I saw this thing called Popeye, which is a backpack, and you take a picture, and the back has a kind of a flexible black and white screen where you can take that picture and put it on the screen. So if you're, you want your best boyfriend, girlfriend, can have that picture there. Then you break up, you can change the picture. You can put a flower there, a picture of your dog. So it kind of gives a backpack a lot of versatility. That's just a couple of things to mention. How about you, Lois? What did you see that you really liked?
Well, I saw this one thing, iPal Robot. And it looked like, what was that called?
R2-D2. R2-D2.
Yeah, and it had a little, or a Teletubby. It looked like a Teletubby. And what I liked about it is that it's being positioned. It's a robot that, you know, just kind of like roams around, but it's a cute little figure, and it's really being marketed where they want other software people to come in, and it could be a companion for a senior person or a young kid, where they actually, you know, can play games with the robot, or the robot babysits and whoever is the adult can call in from another location and see what the kid is doing, because the robot will follow the kid around. Or if a senior citizen, you know, is disabled, the robot will help the senior citizen do stuff. It's really, robots are going to become a companion. And this, just the way this robot acted, I really felt there was a kinship of some sort, where other ones look very institutional. This one is, and it's from a company called Avatar Mind. And I believe the CEO, John Ostrom, O-S-T-R-E-M, was PhD. He did work with Stanford. So he really has the in on these robots being user-friendly. Then I saw another company that I thought was interesting. It was almost like Lego. By the way, Lego is doing unbelievable things, teaching kids to code, you know, where they're now building Legos where they have to code a little bit so they get the whole idea of coding. And young girls are going to, you know, learn how to code before they even know that they're coding, which I think is great. This way there'll be many more people from the masses coming up with software developments. But this company was MakeBlock. You probably saw that. It is very much, yeah, it's very much like do-it-yourself robot construction and programming. And it's just very different type of items than you see from Lego, but very similar. But it's much more mechanical looking and futuristic looking in terms of the products you make and all the little gadgets and screws and numbers and letters that go with it. So that's a company really to look at if people want to look at their website. It's makeblock.com. Then, full disclosure, I was doing work with a company there called Viewpoint System. They're smart glasses. And what attracted me so much to this company was the fact that you put on these smart glasses. This is, you know, for business to business. If I am a paramedic and I'm in an ambulance, and the person that I picked up in an accident is crashing, and I feel I could save his or her life, but I don't know enough medical stuff to do. If I put on the glasses, the doctors back in the ER see what I see, feel what I feel, and precisely are looking right through my pupils and are telling me what to do to help save that person. And this, these smart glasses are going to be used in the automobile industry also, you know, in all kinds of, for construction, for manufacturing, for driving. So it is really the future of smart glasses. And basically, the soundbite that I got out of it, listening to so many reporters come over to them, it's going to be everything you have in your smartphone will be in your smart glasses. So that was another thing.
Wow.
But one interesting thing, and I guess you know about it, but we never really discussed it. There is a section of CES called Eureka Park, and it's really in the basement of the Sands. And nobody knows this. I mean, nobody from the outside world. There are hundreds of little tabletops that are there, and I think they're only allowed to be there a limited amount of time, and they pay a very limited amount of money. And different countries come with emerging technologies that are not on the market yet. And they show, you know, products that they're working on that may be a year from now, 6 months from now, maybe never. But all these unbelievable inventions. And they categorized it by country. So there was France, there was New Zealand, there was Australia, there was England. Israel. And then sometimes if there's not a country, they grouped it virtual reality, augmented reality. And I never even went to this section before. I've been going to the show for 50 years. I don't know how long, you know, it's been around, but I didn't even know. I thought, like, you know, where
it's only been around for, I bet, 5 years. And it used to be in the hallway of the Sands, like as you were heading from the Venetian to the Sands was like a big long hall corridor that had meeting rooms. It used to be kind of jammed into those meeting rooms. They opened up all the in-between doors, and that's where Eureka Park was. This year, it's grown so much that it's gotten its own floor at the Sands. They cleared out what used to be in the lower level of the Sands, and now it's there. So this year, it's really stepped it up, and a lot of reporters are obviously going there. The place is really packed. The first day, you could barely move in at Eureka Park. And that's where I found a lot of great stuff. I mean, it's if you're looking for, you know, grassroots, things that are being incubated and are not ready for launch, this is the place to find it. And it's just an amazing facility. And I was blown away by how many products from France. France has, it's a huge showing, but Israel, New Zealand were also there as well as a lot of Americans as well.
Isn't that where Hypervision was? That's where Hypervision.
Yeah, Hypervision was there.
This is a company, you can explain it, but this is a company that Richard Branson and Mark Cuban invested in, and it is probably the most advanced holograms that I've ever seen. There were so many people standing around this little card table booth, you couldn't get near it. I've never seen so many smartphones taking videos of this thing. It was absolutely...
Kinomo. It was called Kinomo, I think,
K-I-N-O-M-O. Right.
And it was, what's amazing about it, it's great for advertising. I don't think that it's not really for, but it's such eye candy, you can't help but stop and look at it. So you have these spinning devices that, and you see these 3D holograms pop out where you see Mark Cuban's face, you see sneakers, you see all sorts of gambling things. They're just all showing how exciting this visual is. And it just, you know, people like Lemmings kept walking to it. Now, I shot about 7 or 8 videos of it. I don't know why, but you just keep seeing it and shooting videos of it because it's such fascinating looking. I mean, just there's something about it that's just almost surreal. So it grabs your eye.
This comes
so
from
much,
London.
So many of the new products.
Right? This is from London.
Yeah. I believe so. A lot of the products were health related, a lot about health. I mean, I think health was all over the place, from clean air, clean water, keeping track of your baby. I saw the first ever wearable breast pump. Sounds like a, you know, is this a problem that needs to be fixed? Actually, it does. Breast pumps, I've learned, have lots of wires, lots of noises. Women have to kind of excuse themselves to pump themselves. This now, you can actually wear it, and it does the job for you. It's very quiet. It got a lot of buzz at the show as well. There was something called High Mirror, which is either a standalone mirror or actually attach it to your existing mirror. It has a camera on it, and it does an analysis of your face. It makes makeup suggestions. It makes dermatology sessions. It looks for problems that you might want to show your dermatologist. It's like having an everyday exam of your skin. Pretty amazing.
So what did you think of the overall show? I mean, people ask you, like, are you exhausted from it? I mean, like, what is your feeling? Like, it's an adventure. So what is your, you know...
It's not doable. I mean, the reality is that, you know, you and I together, I mean, we weren't together, but if you add up how much you saw and how much I saw and you add it together, it's still probably less than 25% of the whole show. It's just, I mean, I never walked into the North Hall. I never walked into any of the tents. I only went to one away place, which was Hard Rock. I mean, it's so hard. The show has gotten so big and so splintered and over so many different venues that it's physically impossible in 4 days to see the whole thing. I think we saw a lot of it, you know, from what we could see, and I made a quick run through Central Hall to see the big boys, you know, the Samsung, LG, Sony's, those folks, for just because they usually have Intel. They always have, you know, cool booths. But generally, I spent most of my time at Eureka Park and at the Sands looking and meeting the small guys. A little less pizzazz, but cool stuff. One product I saw there was something called PetNet. It's a feeder for your dog, but when it runs out of food, it automatically will either tell you need to buy more food, or it can automatically contact Amazon and order more food. I thought that was pretty amazing. So one less
chore. You
know what?
It's really interesting because I saw a lot of live videos on Facebook, and the world is looking at this, and people are wondering, do I really need all of these gadgets, yet another gadget? And all I could say to them is, what someone's dream is another person's nightmare. But, yeah, a lot of these gadgets will find their way into the home. And people, you know, love them. You know, if it's something is special to you, that's who they're appealing to. And there's no question about it. There's enough people to buy, you know, whatever is coming to the marketplace. And if people know, and if companies know how to market right, they'll get to their target audience.
I don't know what the percentage is, but many of the products we see will never make it to marketplace. They're, even if they're good ideas or they're getting a lot of press, sometimes it just doesn't get the money it needs, or the, you know, there isn't a retailer who wants to get behind it, and the thing just disappears. I saw a cool product called, I think it's called Jennycam, and it's a scanner for your garbage pail. So as you're throwing out a bottle of whatnot, you scan the product. It keeps a list of what you're throwing out so you know what to buy again. If you throw something out that doesn't have a scannable part to it, it then asks you, do you want me to make a note of this? You say, yes, oranges. I need more oranges. It'll add oranges to the list. And then it, and then on top of that, when the garbage is full, it sends you or maybe your kids a text message saying, hey, it's time to empty the garbage.
Oh, so God. That really kind of is. Yeah, that's amazing.
There's some clever stuff out there. I mean, again, I don't know if this will show up in homes around the country, but it certainly was interesting. There was another umbrella that when it knows when it's raining, it's going to rain that day, and it will send you a text message reminding you to take it to work.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, really, these are all I'm not making these up. They're all real. So I saw some cool stuff there. I even had my ear scanned, Lois. I had my ear scanned for a 3D scan of my ear for making custom-made earbuds. I mean, it's just a crazy number of things you can do there.
It's a crazy world, right? And we're very lucky to be able to see this innovation. And if you don't appreciate it, then you should not go to that show.
Absolutely. And bring a good pair of shoes, because if you're not prepared to do a lot of walking, this is not your place to be, that's for sure.
But I absolutely want to end by saying that most people that I know, when they hear that I'm going to CES, it's almost on their bucket list, like a African safari or a trip to Italy. People want to go because they have never heard or seen of anything like it. It's like one of the, you know, many miracles on earth to go to.
Well, it's true. If you've never seen it, it is kind of like that. It's an amazing. It's like going to a consumer electronics flea market or something. It's just incredible. But again, once you've done it, in your case, 50 years, in my case, 20 plus years. It's not that I don't want to do it. I want to keep doing it. But it does seem to get harder to climb that mountain every year. But that's part of the fun.
That is part of the fun. Okay.
Well, I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman.
And we are Lying on the Beach. So long, everybody.
Bye.